Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
House prices are back in the news. Kieran Mulqueen is from Dublin. He runs an Instagram page called Crazy House Prices, where he shares the affordability problem with buying property in the capital. And he compares the price of houses in Dublin to the price of houses down in Roscommon or Longford or someplace like that. And he and his wife are still trying to get on the property ladder, and he's on the line now. How are you doing, Kieran?
I'm good, Ray. How are you?
Is it Kieran or Kieran?
Kieran.
Kieran, right.
Fada on the A.
Yes, yeah. Our computers don't have a Fada, obviously. good to talk to you.
Yeah, it's a tough act to follow. I won't do a song now because you'll probably lose all your listeners.
I'd say you have a song in you, though.
I don't, actually.
Do you not? No. I think we'll start with your own story first. What's your wife's name?
Melissa.
Melissa, right. Yourself and Melissa are both teachers. And both of you are from Dublin.
We are.
Right, okay. Right, we'll start there then. Maybe give us your age.
Yeah, well, I'm 34. Melissa is 32. So we've been kind of looking for the last around about 18 months, 2 years. And we live in Portobello. We're lucky that we live in the family home, in Melissa's family home. So I suppose when I was just looking around at properties, and especially looking around here, what kicked off the page was I saw this 6 foot wide house in Long Lane. It's off Clonbrassil Street, and I was looking for €265,000. Now I think it's still for sale, and I suppose the page just started off as a joke and just making fun of the property market. But then the joke got serious quite quickly when you realise, well, I'm stuck in this here in the middle of this at the moment, and everything is just so unaffordable.
Yeah, I was just looking at that actually. Your first post, 34 square metres. That property, 19A Long Lane. And my understanding is that when you're building an extension, if it's not more than one story, you can be 40 square metres, can't it? So that's how small that house was.
Tiny, tiny. So you wouldn't fit a bed in sideways.
Right. Okay. So that is funny if you're not trying to get on the property ladder. And both of ye are people that are talked about an awful lot in the media. Because you're civil servants, you're on a certain wage, you're providing a service, you have to live near where you work, and yet you're completely unable to get on the property ladder. Give us an idea of the figures.
The figures of house prices in Dublin.
And then, you know, salaries, average house prices, and what you can borrow from the bank.
So I kind of, on the page, as you said, comparison posts, but as a teacher, I suppose my main thing is education, and I do love helping people. So I just, along the journey, I'm trying to do as many helpful posts for people as I can. So one of them I did was all about median salaries rather than average, but the median is a bit more accurate in Dublin and in Ireland, and just comparing between Dublin and outside of Dublin, basically. So with the lending rules, you've got a 3.5 times of your gross income. That's all you can borrow unless you get an exemption. So in Ireland, the median salary in Ireland, these are figures from 2018 from the CSO website. So the median salary in Ireland was 36,000, and the median salary in Dublin was 39,000.
Right, okay.
So that means as a single person, then you can borrow about 126,000 for people outside of Dublin, or 252,000 for a joint applicant, and then in Dublin you're looking at about 138,000 and 276,000.
Okay, so a couple can borrow 276,000 if they're on the median, if both are on the median salary in Dublin. The average house price in Dublin is.
The median house price was in Dublin was 375,000, and the average house price was 441,000.
Okay, so it's an impossible situation for a lot of people.
Totally, and they're only going one way. They're only going up and up with during COVID and the complete lack of supply on the market.
Yeah, other places have subsidised or given people like yourself a sort of a city subsidy, so that if you're a teacher working in a city, I think Paris do it, maybe London do it as well, that you get extra because the cost of living in a city is higher than if you live in the country. Is that an idea?
It could be an idea. I would be of the opinion that you shouldn't, you shouldn't have to subsidise a profession like that to be able to live where they want to live. Now, like, I'm not looking for a mansion in Rathgar, but like, people should be able to live in and around where their family are from and in and around where they're working. So I think the better idea would be to put in some kind of policies to help with supply on the housing market rather than subsidising salaries, because the money could be better spent, I think.
Yeah, well, there's been numerous plans over the last few years, and they've said that they've planned to build 20,000 or whatever houses. They're saying that COVID has interfered with that. It's interfered with a lot of things, and you have to take them on their word on that one. But will it not be a perennial problem for people like yourself in Dublin if they want to live near where they work?
Yeah, it is, if prices keep going the way they are. And that's my worry. Like, where are teachers going to live? And myself and Melissa, we're not special. There are thousands of people in the same position we are. And in fact, we're probably in a much better off position because we're not stuck in a rental trap. But where will nurses live? Where will people that work in coffee shops live? Where will people that work in restaurants and bars and supermarkets and students? Yeah. Where are they all going to live?
And
that's,
and you,
that's my worry.
What generation Dub are you?
Multiple generations.
Yes, and you want to live in Dublin. You haven't considered moving down the country or commuting.
No,
or anything like that.
And that's something that people say a lot. You know, can you not just move to here or there? But no, like, we shouldn't really have to. And we're not looking to live in Balls Bridge or anything like that, or live in a mansion, but it's just, you need to be able to live, like, this idea of a 15-minute city. You should be able to live within 15 minutes on public transport or on a bike to be able to get in and around where you need to be.
And you're critical of Dublin, and like, not just on its city status. You say it's a large town. How does it compare to places like Manhattan or London when it comes to property prices?
London, the UK is kind of in probably even in a worse position than we are because of some of the schemes that their government have brought in, like the shared equity scheme over there has driven up prices and all of that. So they're probably worse, but that's the route we're going down if we continue to go the way we are, that people will just get priced out of the city and will have to live an hour and a half commute.
So you don't agree with the shared equity scheme where the government give you a loan and they own a bit of the property?
No, that's a demand side scheme, and our issue is supply.
Right.
So I'd be far more interested in like a vacant site scheme where, you know, they could prioritise these and give VAT incentives and all of that to try and focus on getting, because there are 35,000 to 40,000 vacant properties all around Dublin. So that's a massive supply that could really put a huge dent in the crisis.
But people have been saying that for the last 5 or 6 years, haven't they? You know, people, for example, who are in nursing homes and or, you know, in the Fair Deal scheme, that they're not occupied at the moment, that they should do something to free them up. So tell us about you and Melissa then, and what you've looked at and what has happened. Are your standards too high? I know that even as I say it, that sounds pretty shite. But, you know, do you have to lower your standards?
I don't think our standards are that high. Like, suppose the issue that myself and Melissa and thousands of other people find themselves in is that, like, with the prices the way they are, it tends to delay your life plans, you know. So we're at an age now where we can't buy a little one bed because we're already be grown out of it. So we're not looking for anything massive, but just a standard kind of 2 or 3 bed with a little bit of a garden that everybody wants now with COVID. And we've bid on a good few places, but tend to be getting outbid at the moment. And
who do you think is outbidding you, Ciarán? What type of people?
I suppose it's not just me, but I get hundreds of messages a day in on the Instagram. So I think I've kind of become a bit of an agony uncle to people that are in our position. And they, from what they're coming across, so anything I come across is just anecdotal. But from like a survey of what other people are coming across rather than just me is a lot of people just getting outbid. You don't know whether it's they're being outbid by an investor, whether they're just being outbid by somebody who is getting financial help, maybe from a from parents or whatever. You just don't know. But also people are panicking at the moment, and with supply being so low.
Yeah, and that's what
they're spending a lot of money.
That thing is hugely important, isn't it? Where your life's been put on pause. Like the things that we assumed we would do. You know, you reach a certain age, you go to college or whatever, third level, then you meet somebody, you fall in love, you have your wild years, then you say, okay, we're going to spend the rest of our lives together, and let's buy a house. And that's you know, somewhere in your 30s, and then whatever follows on from that, if you want to have a family, blah blah blah. But for loads, a whole generation now, that's been interrupted.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting in on the page a lot, is people in the same position, and I think maybe they just relate to me in that aspect, and that's why the page has grown so big, is that there are so many people in that position, and it's really tough, it's really difficult.
Yeah, have you spoken to the Minister for Housing?
I did. I was actually on a call with Dara Bryan about 2 weeks ago. And we just spoke about a few things. It was very kind of him to give me a call. He didn't need to. And I spoke to him for about 45, 50 minutes and just discussing everything that's kind of going on at the moment in the Dáil with the Land Development Agency, the shared equity scheme. But he was great to give me a call. Now, I didn't leave the call with much more hope than I had in. But yeah, I suppose I'm just trying to rather than just moaning about it on the page, I'm trying to actually do something about it and contact people and maybe just get people motivated to, you know, email your TD or talk to people about it. Let them know the position you're in.
And it's a slow process, though, building and buying houses. And, you know, it's not something you can go out and do a mass protest one day and then it's fixed, you know, in a week. That's not the way it happens. And it's been talked about forever and ever. So I don't know what the solution is.
Yeah, and I suppose that's why I'm kind of fairly passionate about the vacant home thing. And I know you spoke about the Fair Deal, but that would be a smaller percentage of all the vacant ones. Like,
so what about the other ones? Why are they vacant?
Well, a lot of say apartments are vacant because, let's say, 95% of all apartments last year were bought by build to let. So these are foreign investment, real estate investment trusts that come in and they buy up thousands and thousands of apartments in one go. And they may sit 40, 50, 60% of them vacant because the rents are so high, but they don't want to lower the rents down because they'll have to lower them all down. And then it's with the rent
they'll flood the market. Yeah.
So they're able to manufacture the rents in the entire market. So I think a simple solution would just be to put a tax on them. Like there was an exemption brought in 2014 to try and stimulate foreign investment back into the housing market after the last crash. But the carrot on the stick thing, but I suppose they have now taken the carrot and taken all of the carrots.
Yes. Yeah. So your primary school, are you, or secondary school?
Primary school, fourth class.
Right, okay.
And Melissa is junior infants.
And how's that going? Are you doing the Zoom calls or the Seesaw or the team or whatever you're doing?
Yeah, we're on Zoom. I'm on Zoom every morning and Melissa is doing pre-recorded. Obviously with 4 and 5 year-olds, it's a little bit tough to do live stuff. But she's back in now on Monday.
Yeah,
she's out in Lucan East. So she's very excited. So that's great. And then we'll be back in on the 15th.
Just to draw people's attention to the Instagram crazy house prices, and that's where it all started. So, and that is the thing, like when you drive down the country and you see a 5-bed detached house on a 1/2 acre of land, and you know you put it into Google and you see it's on sale for what, 250 or 300 grand, and then you have to go back to your Dublin home and it's a smaller thing. but that's always going to be the way, isn't it?
It is, yeah, as long as there's such a demand for cities. So I think even we're finding now that prices are even going up in more rural areas now that people are working from home a little bit more.
Yeah.
But cities will always be in demand and will obviously
That might ease the pressure. That might ease the pressure. You know, when the pandemic's over, and if a number of people, a good percentage of people who used to work in the city now work from home, that's going to ease the pressure on the property market, won't it?
Hopefully, yeah. That's the hope. We'll see how it goes.
And somebody like you and Melissa could be competing with an executive from a big tech company, couldn't you? when it comes to bidding. That's a problem, but that's the reality of life.
That's a huge problem. And what I'm noticing as well is that those people have so much cash, so they will buy a house and they will pump a load of money into fixing it up as well. And actually what they spend on the house won't be what the house is worth, even by the end of it. But they're willing to do that. And like you see it happening a lot around in Portobello, it's a lot of the tech companies, or not the tech companies, but people working in them on a huge salary.
Yeah. It's impossible for you and Melissa to compete against them and nurses and guards and other teachers and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is, but at some stage in the future, our politicians are going to have to sort it out. Ciarán, thanks so much for chatting to us today. Ciarán Mulqueen, crazy house prices there. You've over 20,000. Padraig Howley is catching up on you very quickly. He's only been on Instagram for 4 days, Ciarán.
I know. I'll have to start doing a few dances and a few songs.
Yeah. Great talking to you, Ciarán. Mind yourself.
Thanks, Ray.
See you. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.